I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 577. Topics must be properly marinated before we can talk about them.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. Panda, what is up?
Chicken. That's what's up.
Chicken?
Apparently.
Yeah.
It's all up in my mind. It's creeping in my DMs.
It's like, you know, it be like that. I'm not gonna lie. Like good chicken, like, creeps into your DMs. It, like, hit you up when you're not expecting it, just like, hey girl, hey. And you're like, oh, hey, fried chicken.
I've been thinking about you. It's like, oh, hell no.
Oh, hell. Well.
You telling me that?
I mean, don't even say it like that. And then it, like, does that little sly wink, and you're like, I'm about to put that in my mouth. Like, you can't even play. You can't even play.
Can't.
But it's all right. It's okay, because you know what? You got to embrace that about yourself. And
I am slowly. Quick little tangent story.
Mm.
And I mean, I know I've definitely talked about this on the show like a billion times, where I had like that prolific black experience
when you had that real, like, deep scale, like, slave,
like,
moment
cat
where you just like,
chicken! The chicken.
Mm-hmm. Like when our ancestors reached through you.
Right, exactly.
To speak moment. Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed now, like, it's happened far more times than I care to admit.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, and I mean, within, like, the last 2 weeks, specifically, I've been seeing pictures of, like, chick nugs and, like, chicken tenders that have, like, elevated, like, the pitcher game for me.
Have you just not been eating the right amount of chicken?
I've been eating my chicken. But, like, I see random pieces of chicken, and I'm like, damn, that chicken looks really good. Why am I not eating that chicken? Like, I went to a fancy bougie restaurant with the Hot Mess, which some of you guys who listen to our show have heard us talk about Hot Mess way back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Because we both got newest jobs, so we were celebrating. So we went to, like, a bougie restaurant,
mm-hmm.
you know, feeling proud about, you know, our new accomplishments. And, like, it's a steaky house. Kind of deal, surf uh-huh. and turf, all that business. So, like, we went in there for the steak, which I got me some Wagyu beef. My God, delicious melt-in-your-mouth goodness there, but I digress.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with the Wagyu, because once you have that, it's real hard to go back to anything that's not it.
Oh, my God. Like, and we traded, because I got the Wagyu and he got the regular steak, and I was like, no, you have to try this. And he's like, you have to try this. And, like, we both swapped. And I'm like, mine is better. And he's like, what is it about Wagyu? I'm like, well, these cows are, like, only in Japan, living on a mountaintop, living their best lives.
There's something about eating something that lived its best life that just tastes different.
It tastes so much better to your palate, I guess. I don't know. But we're sitting at this small table, obviously, because there's only two of us. And we're, like, next to another table with, like, these two older people, and I was like, whatever, like, not a big deal, like, I'm gonna eat my clam oysters and, like, mind my own business. But they were eating their dinner, and their chicken came out, and it looked like a double fried chicken.
Oh, well, I mean, first of all the rules go out the door when you're talking about double fried, or, you know, even more than double fried chicken. When you fry the chicken more than once, like, you if you don't have a reaction, then you're not human.
And I was just like, what? And I mean, like, it looked like I had no words. And, like, as I'm sitting there with my oysters, and, like, Hot Mess is like, and I'm leaning into the lady at the seat next to me. And he's like, what are you doing? I need to know. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am. I'm like, your meal looks divine. Which chicken is this? Which one is it?
Chicken is this?
Who chicken, who dis? Like, kind of thing. And she was like, yeah. She's like, I saw a picture on their Instagram. And I was like, hold up. So now I follow this restaurant on Instagram and just be looking at their food pics. And I'm like, damn.
You know a restaurant is hitting on all points when someone tells you that they ordered something based off a photo they saw of it on Instagram. Not in the menu, not something that somebody recommended. I saw this photo of this thing that they took, that they put on their Instagram. And I was like, that has to go in my face.
Like you know how, like, we all have our favorite singer, and you can tell real singers because they sound like their album.
Yep.
Even when they live.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like that. I saw this picture, and I was like, oh, shit. It's going to look just like that. And sure enough, it did. It's like the Mary J. Blige of chicken. Because you get Mary.
You get exactly
Mary. What you hear when you see her live.
Mary's and
when
the you same from 411 to today. Like,
yeah.
I feel you. Yeah.
So I was like, having this moment with this lady's chicken. Didn't eat any of it because she didn't offer. And I was like, no.
That's rude.
Do not I'm be sorry. That person.
If you inquire about my food, I'd be like, I know. Like,
can I have some of that?
Right? Like, I would be like that person, like, would you like a bite? And then it would, like, really be on you to be like, am I the person that's going to eat somebody else's? Well, they did offer. See, there's always the levels that you go. But, again...
But I was like, I can't do that to you, man.
We're going
to
digress from the fried chicken conversation.
It'd be a big bite, but I didn't do it.
We got to digress from the fried chicken conversation because that's not what this podcast is about.
It's not, but...
I mean, it's a part of it, but it's not all of it. We have a bunch of game stuff to talk about this week for you guys, so hopefully you will enjoy it as we jump right in and dig into stuff. I know that... you actually, Panda, have something to talk about, which I'm surprised that you've actually been able to go all week without talking to me about this. As much as we've talked to each other this week, the fact that the Sonic announcement hadn't, like, made its way into the conversation.
It definitely was in my realm, but I was like, one, I can wait. And two, like, I wanted to kind of sit on it a little bit because, like, I could be like, yay, Sonic, and go about my business, or I could, like, marinate about it. And what I think will come out of it.
So you marinated. Like,
I'm not going to say anything.
So what did you marinate on? Tell people.
So first things first, an announcement came out that Sonic Mania, which came out for the Switch a few months back, maybe even more than a few months, maybe like six.
I think it's been
a while.
It's been almost.
But when Sonic Mania was first announced for the Nintendo Switch, like my blood did like alley oops and praises for joy in my system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am an avid Sonic lover.
I know. I felt like it took like a year off your life and you're now a year younger somehow.
I went back to the 90s. I kept telling my husband about my blue Game Gear that you were mad that I had because it was the only time I've ever one-upped you in life.
First of all, you've one-upped me a few times, but it's one of the few times that you one-upped me tech-wise.
Tech-wise, I got the advantage. Okay. And it's only because
you got yours second, and Mom was like, well, I don't want them confusing each other's for each other's.
So conveniently, they had a different color, which just happened to be this awesome blue color.
It was really Sonic blue. Like, let's be real.
It legitimately was. I'm like, it is the calling. It is calling to me as a blue lover. So, but I was just like, oh, yeah. And I had a Game Gear and I played all the games, babe.
Okay. First of all, you didn't. You played Columns and you played all the Sonic. Like, that's the only thing you played on your Game Gear. And it was, like, impossible to get you off it, too.
I didn't say I played all the Sonic games because I don't believe that CD should have been a thing ever. And also, the 3D songs really kind of...
They don't exist. I don't know what you're talking about.
Kind of hurt. But anyway. But Sonic Mania Plus, and I'll explain why we're getting a Plus, because if it was just coming over to new systems, I wouldn't necessarily consider this like an addition.
Or really exciting news other than, hey, for you guys who are on this platform, you now have a port for you.
Well, I mean, I think most homes now, I feel we're seeing a shift where you're seeing multi-consoled homes. Like,
yeah, but I still don't think, and you know, I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but I still don't think that we're like yet where like a console home is all three consoles. I do feel like people are like two consoles or less, and it's usually like the adult system and then the family system. So I feel like it's Nintendo and.
Yes, yes. Nintendo Plus.
I didn't even mean to do this. Okay,
I know you did. But anyway, so Sonic Mania Plus is coming to the PS4 and the Xbox One. Granted, I believe we're also going to get the Plus version for the Switch, which I don't know if that's just going to be like a downloadable or its own separate entity.
Uh-huh.
But the biggest thing that makes it a plus is that in Plus, we are getting new modes and we're also getting some new characters. And I hope that these are completely, completely new and not necessarily just, oh, now we're going to be able to play as Sally and any of the others that are already established in the universe. I'd like to see what these newer levels that we got in the original Sonic Mania, if we're going to get any new established characters with new stories from those areas, which I kind of suspect we'll see happening.
I would say that would be a safe assumption to make, just because, you know, for me at least, in watching people play Sonic Mania, because I didn't play it, I'm not as big a Sonic fan as some of the co-hosts of this podcast. I appreciate Sonic, but I'm like, meh, I could take it or leave it. One of the things that I did appreciate about Sonic Mania, though, was that it was a good mix of what existed already in the universe and adding new to it. So
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if you had, you know, I'd probably say probably less than a handful, but you're probably going to get one or two characters that are new creations from, you know, the community and team that's been working on Sonic Mania with some of the existing mainstay characters. Like, don't be surprised if Tails is a playable character. Don't be surprised if Sally is a playable character. Because there's a lot of art out there around Sally.
So there's some materials.
There's materials. Yeah, let's go with that. There's materials. So don't be surprised that, you know, a character that is so beloved to have many people generate the materials be in there as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, but also with the announcement that we got, they also talked about how this release, one, is going to be a physical release. It's not going to be digital. Yeah, they're going to
Pressing discs and cartridges?
Yeah, they're going to press discs for Sonic Mania Plus, yeah. Which I'm excited and intrigued about in a way that, you know, obviously as a old school Sonic lover would be. Like, granted, I have a digital version of Sonic Mania on the family Switch. So, I mean, I have to find reasons to justify buying a physical copy, but I will because I support the franchise. Another little interesting tidbit about the Sonic Mania news is that they are partnering up with Puma to make some sneakers. So, you know,
okay,
I might have to get...
Have you seen them?
I have not seen them yet. They were just talking about...
No, there's a photo. And this is why I thought you were going to be talking about it, and wasn't that you may have. It was that you were fighting and waiting to be able to put your pre-order in. So the sneaker is done. It's out. And it basically is 16-bit style graphics, sneaker. So it looks like, you know, from the side, the 16-bit. So there's, you know, a bunch of blocky color blocks on it to
okay.
look like Sonic's running shoe.
Shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's why I thought you were like, I thought that where you were going was they're doing a sneaker and I am waiting patiently, but not patiently, to put in the pre-order.
I hate being an adult sometimes because I want to be like, take my money now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I can't do that because I'm an adult.
It's a dope sneaker. Like, I don't like Sonic like that, but even I was like, yo.
I don't get it often. Like,
I might need this sneaker.
I think all the sneakers I own Like, all my cool sneakers were sneakers you bought me. Like, all my Chucks that are custom in some way are unique and special are yours. And, like, the one pair of running sneakers I have that are Nike. They're
Chucks that I bought for you.
Yeah. Like, they were always gifts from you. Like, I don't usually go out of my way to get myself sneakers. Like, the last pair of sneakers I bought myself were Nikes from, like, the Payless back down the street from our family home. I mean, I still got them and they're good, but like, you know.
No, bro. Bro.
They're not shoes that you know, bro.
They're not the shoes that you bring out around your sneakerhead friends. Yeah, I understand. Right. Yeah, no. But these would be. And like you're going to want them. You're going to want them.
Damn.
Cuz even I was like, "Yo, I might need to get this sneaker." And you know, I typically only rock the Chucks. Chucks or Vans.
I know. Chucks are kind of your staple, man.
Yeah, Chucks or Vans. That's pretty much where I live. Like, Puma's a nice shoe. I'm a Chucks girl. That's what I like to rock. And I saw the shoe, and I was like, damn, that shoe was fly.
Yeah, so. Now that I know that for sure, I might have to be like, might have to fight the urge.
Yeah, no, I'm going to keep talking. You should probably, like, look at your phone right now and look at the shoe. Because, yeah, that's a thing.
No.
I think that it's a really great connection to, you know, a character who, frankly, you know, got to run fast.
You've got to go fast, that's right.
It makes sense, you know. If Sonic doesn't jump on it and try to do some kind of tie-in around chili dogs, then that's just a missed marketing opportunity on their part.
Oh my god, chili dogs.
Right? Like, hit all the nostalgia with the character.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I told you.
Yes, yeah. Must obtain these shoes.
Yeah, you need those shoes. Like, I don't need those shoes. But you need those shoes.
Oh, shit, son. And it has
nothing to do with being an adult. You just need those shoes.
Those are like all I need is that, my Tails t-shirt.
Right. With those shoes.
And, like, get some fake brass knuckles to protect. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, Knuckles was kind of, but it was always between Knuckles and Tails for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
For a fave. Like, Sonic's cool, and I get, like,
Knuckles is my fave.
But for me, it was always the sidekicks that always had more of a compelling. I was more drawn to them than Sonic originally. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you got to get them shoes.
Oh, my God. Those are really. That would completely up my lounge game by, right? Like. By, right? Like eight, by, like, six Chaos Emeralds. Like, oh my god.
But I do think that it's a great connection for them to do, and I was kind of surprised, in all honesty.
It took them this long. Like, the Sonic meme game has been, like, pretty steady for a while.
Yeah, so but working out a licensing deal is really difficult. That's more than likely what took all the time, because everybody's got to be in agreement. Then everybody has to 100% sign off on what everything looks like. You got to completely nail down, like, who's going to pay initially for what, who's going to get exactly what royalties, how long you're going to run them for. Like, to do this kind of licensing deal, it does take time, especially when you're dealing with, let's be honest, you know, it wasn't like this was a Team Sonic, like, Sega internal project. This was an outside entity putting this together. So now you got all three that you got to get to the table. The entity itself, Sega itself, plus whoever you're partnering with. Like, those things take time, you know, and so it probably did take them, you know, this is probably something that they were working on initially that they hoped to have in place at launch, and it just finally came to fruition. So, like, that doesn't surprise me. But the only part of it that I am a little surprised about, but again, like you, in a cool way, is the press disc piece, the hardware piece. Because so much of the industry is moving away from, you know, the physical disc and the physical storage to the cloud and to digital distribution because, frankly, you can make more money doing the digital distribution than having to do packaging, shipping, marketing, you know, retail space, all those kinds of things. But I think, you know, for me, it kind of feels like artists that still put stuff out on vinyl, you know, there is an art to it. You know, there's a piece that I feel like I do miss a lot when it comes to games when I download them, is that I do miss the box and the box art piece, kind of like, you know,
I mean, I think they're trying to bank on the nostalgia of Sonic as the franchise, mm-hmm. which is why they're trying to keep it OG 100 with the frizzy mm-hmm. press, which I ain't mad at. I'm really not. Like, if Sonic Mania, the original one that I got on my Nintendo Switch, came pressed, I would have bought it
right.
as pressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I mean, actually, it wouldn't have been on a disc. It would have been on the little, you know, niblet thing. A little cartridge thing that
don't
we
call
have.
It a niblet because you're not supposed to put it in your mouth.
But it looks so tasty though. Like, sometimes I'm like, I just want to put some barbecue sauce on it.
It's not double fried chicken, Panda.
It's not. I know.
But I think that it's surprising. I understand what they're trying to do as far as, you know, the marketing piece of it and the nostalgia piece of it. But it is still kind of, hey, you guys already made your money and you made it, frankly, hand over fist. Doing the digital distribution, there's, you know, some losses that you're going to take in doing the physical thing. Because let's be honest, probably people who haven't picked up Sonic Mania yet, they may opt for a digital version or prefer a digital version. And so it may not, for them, because it's not a nostalgia play, make a lot of sense. But I appreciate that they are actually, for this go-round, for Plus, kicking it old school as it would be and putting it on disc and actually running it out so it will be in box and have box art, and the box art itself is probably going to pay homage to the franchise well because, you know, the Mania team has really done a fantastic job putting the game together.
It's a beautiful love letter to the franchise, which I know when I talked really about is. Sonic Mania that I pressed upon how authentic it all felt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just, oh God, those shoes though. Like, I keep having this.
I know, you gotta get them shoes. You gotta get them shoes.
Like, I need to get shoes. I need to get a new t-shirt.
Get them shoes.
Like, I might have to start thinking about jogging so that I can make the Gotta Go Fast reference.
Because you don't want to mess those up. You should just do a boomerang and then call it a day, because you want to keep those shoes pristine because they are dope. Yeah,
they dope. Like, they too cool for school.
Yeah, they are.
But
straight up, too cool for school.
But, oh my God. So anyway.
What else you got?
Very excited about that. So the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about today was people losing their goddamn minds over the Infinity 2 trailer.
Okay, do you need to do any spoilers for anyone who doesn't want the trailer spoiled before you jump into this?
I mean, in all honesty, to me personally, I think if you've seen the first trailer, they haven't divulged any. You're seeing a lot of the initial shots from the first trailer. I think
just asking the question before you dig in.
No,
if you
want to
do spoilers, then we should say it now.
Fine, spoilers, just to be safe.
Okay.
People have been losing their minds over the second trailer for Infinity True, you know, Avengers Infinity. And
it is Infinity War 1.
I'm sorry. I'm blending them because we're getting a second one.
Correct.
So there will be two. But people have been losing their mind over the second trailer. And uh-huh. I did not watch it when it first initially came out.
Uh-huh.
And I think the night that it did, literally at like 3 a.m., two of my friends were texting my phone, which, I mean, I'm up at 4 generally, but I'm like, guys, like, what? Like, what? No. And they're just like, no, have you seen it yet? Has it changed your life yet?
You need to put your do not disturb on so that only your emergency people can get through.
Yeah, because
that's what I do. So if you text me after midnight and you are not my sister or my husband or my brother-in-law or my bestie, my phone ain't gonna make a noise or vibrate.
I need to
wait till the morning. Yep. Do not disturb. It's a beautiful thing.
And I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I am glad that people are excited. But one, this is Marvel. Two, I think there's a certain level that we now kind of expect Marvel to deliver in terms of movie, visual, and, like, draw. So I'm like, I didn't need to be woken up at 3:30 in the morning for a trailer that I could watch when I got to my job, mm-hmm. like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to alert me. I'm not, like, breaking news. I'm not on Channel 5. This just it. Like, that ain't me.
Right.
So you didn't need to holler at me with such fervor. But, you know, I understand people are excited and they want to talk to people who are passionate about the project. So I get it. So finally, after, you know, I went back to sleep cursing that I got woken up an hour before I was going to get up anyway. Mm-hmm. I then proceeded to
watch the trailer.
Watch the trailer like every other normal human being. And
I mean, not normal because I didn't watch it, but please go ahead.
I mean, am I excited? Did I get pumped? Yes. But we've seen it. We've seen a lot of it before. Like, oh, we're going to see all the Avengers get together to take out Thanos. Oh, yeah. And the Guardians of the Galaxy are there. And so-and-so is there. And Spider-Man talks to Doctor Strange. Like, we're seeing all of these characters in the same space, which, don't get me wrong, like, yes, there's a reason to be excited, but we should, theoretically, know that, you know, Thanos is coming for the last few Infinity Stones, and we know Vision's got one in his head. This is not news. So clearly, Thanos has to go to where they are to go get that and rip it out of Paul Bettany's head. Like, it gon' happen, or at least attempt to happen. You know, because that's what makes it a movie. But I think in the latest trailer, from what it looked like in the first trailer, they didn't give you a lot of shots of, like, Thanos. Like, you got one or two headshots of him.
Right,
you
and saw then people him, lost like, their mind because they're like, Thanos is the same color as he was before. Thanos is, like, not as purple. He's kind of like lilac now, so they softened like, him up.
And he's also not nearly as big and threatening as his presence in the people were worried that he was going to get the Apocalypse treatment from X-Men Apocalypse, which is a movie that people should never see.
That's right. And that's a valid fear to have.
Yes, it is.
Because they made Apocalypse a pussy.
They did. They literally did, which doesn't make any sense to me. But whatever. Like, I'm not a movie producer. I do not have the power to tell Hollywood what to do.
You're not He-Man. You don't have the power.
Oh, did you?
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Finish your thought.
But anyway, a lot of people were praising this trailer because, one, I think they decided to put in some edits where you could clearly see that Thanos is no joke. And definitely we're going to see everybody struggle, which for a two-parter, you'd imagine that
Is it
going to happen in the first movie?
This is why, like, to get to the short point of what you started to talk about, I, too, had friends that I saw on my social, as well as hitting me up directly, who were losing their ever-loving minds over this trailer. And I was like, guys, I haven't watched the trailer. And I'm not going out of my way to watch the trailer. Like, if I see it pop up in autoplay in my news feeds or someplace, I will probably take a look at it. But I'm not going out of my way to watch it because I know what this movie is. This is the cliffhanger movie. There's no solution in the first movie. The second movie is the one.
We might get some minor resolution,
no,
but the
it's Marvel.
It's Marvel.
In any of Marvel's multi-part movies, you never get a solution, you just get more questions.
So.
And that's fine when I know going in that it's going to be a multi-part movie. Okay? It's fine. Okay? But I'm not going to, like, cream my pants over the first of the Infinity War movies. I'm going to cream my pants at the second one because that's when shit is going to get real. This is all set up. So, yes, like you said, Thanos is coming for all the Infinity Stones. There's one in Vision's head. Obviously, Vision is going to get fucked.
I mean, they may try. It might be the last one. It might be the first one. And then Vision might not, you know, have all of his powers. And then him and, you know, Red Witch are going to have like,
Scarlet
discussion.
Witch, and here's the deal.
I know, but I call her Red Witch because her original costume was, like, red. And, like, in the movies, they, like,
Scarlet
gave her a
red
t-shirt.
That's why
and,
she's like, the Scarlet Witch, because it's Scarlet Red.
Red.
That's
she's
the
red.
Exact
she,
color.
She's the Red Witch.
Scarlet. So. All right, so anyway, look, here's the deal. If you paid attention to the first trailer, there's a point where you see Thanos with his glove, and he has the blue and the purple stones already in the glove. So more than likely, that will happen very quickly, and it's going to be the run-up to getting the final stone. And it will probably be Vision Stone that'll be the run-up to. Because that way you can keep Paul Bettany alive for both movies.
Yep.
Through both movies.
Well, I mean, I wonder if the Infinity Stone is really what's keeping Vision's form. Because, you know, he may not need it.
Well, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Here's the deal.
I mean...
Ultimately, back to the main point. There's no reason to cream your pants over the first trailer. You can absolutely be excited about the movie. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. Okay? Because I've missed, like, a good Avengers movie. And I'm sorry, and we've talked about this a bunch. Civil War ain't it.
No. I mean, I did enjoy all the memes that came out of the Civil War movie.
I enjoyed the memes that came out of the movie.
The memes were hot. They were the new hotness.
I didn't enjoy the movie. Okay, and, you know, I we've already talked about this, fucking loved Black Panther, and,
well, yeah.
Like, it killed me that, you know, spoilers, guys, that the after credits thing was, once again, Bucky Barnes getting his ass saved, this time by Shuri.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay,
but
like I'm done with the Winter Soldier.
But she alluded to it in the movie where she's like, oh, another broken white man.
I know.
We get a lot of those lately.
Right, and as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, motherfucker, they're fixing Bucky.
Well, duh. Well, I mean, I thought at first they were, because that's where Captain America went at the end of Civil War.
I know, and I remember that they put him on ice, but it didn't dawn on me until Shuri made that comment that Bucky was unthawed and was being worked on. Because remember, they put him in deep sleep and they were like, we'll figure out a solution. You'll have my word. Like, all that kind of stuff. So I figured, like, all right, good. Cryo Bucky Barnes. That's my favorite way to have Bucky. So
that is true. I thought they were going to keep him on ice until they figured out what to do.
So evidently, Shuri is like mad fast and figured it out. Anyway, long story short, I'm looking forward to the movie. I'm not going to go bananas about it. In all honesty, it's going to be very hard for any movie to make me as hype as I was for Black Panther and for me to have the same level of enjoyment as I had in Black Panther coming out. Like, it's going to be really hard for Marvel to sway me like that anymore, because that, for me, was kind of like a real hype and like real moment with a movie. And now I'm just like, okay, more superheroes, cool, tight. But like, I am no longer like, oh my god, you guys, I can't wait for the Avengers movie. I can wait.
You're like, I can wait.
Is another Black Panther movie. But I can wait for an Avengers movie. I'm good.
So
am I.
But yeah. People have been losing their damn minds.
Especially because fucking Widow's a blonde now. I'm like, come on, guys. Really? Okay, cool.
Well, I understand why people are getting mad about that. But I'm like, clearly she's in a contract where she can't change her hair color for another movie she's doing. So calm your shit, guys.
It's
comment.
Call the fucking wig.
Like, I don't think it is. I think that's her
actual... I'm saying, like, you can put on a fucking wig. Okay, so Scarlett can't change her hair. Put on a skull cap.
Yeah.
Put on a wig, bitch.
I do it every Tuesday.
I do it, like, at least once a week. I don't have a set day, but sometimes I'm like, it's a horror day. Okay? Yeah, so. And it's Hollywood. Y'all know how to do it. Don't act like you don't.
You got smees.
You just have people who know. You're just being lazy. Anyway. So, yeah, I can wait. I'm good.
I mean, like... And I think some people were talking about, like, oh, man, like, the hype of getting everybody. I'm like, one, we already knew.
We already been through that
they
hype.
Were
they
getting
did it
together.
In fucking Civil War. So that's not even new anymore. Because we had the big fight with fucking Ant-Man in it in Civil War. So, like, the whole everybody assemble shit, like, that's not new anymore. So they shot themselves in the foot. And they basically have, like, taken all the hype, at least for me, out of this movie. Because... The Avengers assembled in Civil War.
I mean, they had
fucking Spider-Man even. So, like, Spidey being there ain't nothing new.
Yeah, and Spidey's wearing the new suit that he turned down and, you know,
right.
his actual Ooh. Movie. So, you know, he... But, you know, he gets it eventually. Right. It's been made.
Duh. So like,
what's the deal? Though, granted, in the trailer, I will say this, though. The moment that Spidey has, and I'm talking about Tom Holland, obviously, yes. has with Doctor Strange. Like, I did enjoy that banter. And, I mean, it was only for, like, a second or two. But I was like, I hope it's more of a, I hope it's a much bigger involvement between the two of them. Because sometimes they like give us those little throwaways that we expect to see in the film, and then they never make it.
Yep.
So, like, I'm worried that that's going to be, like, a sweet nug.
Hey, that man, we won't, they did that a bunch in the Strange movie, so don't be surprised. But I do think that those are two amazing actors. So I think that, you know, any scenes that they have where the two of them are connecting, I think it'd be great. And also, I would like for there to be some movie where Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Holland play father and son.
Oh, my God,
I don't
yes.
know what the situation is or why. I want that to happen. But other than that, like, I'm good.
Like, I don't need.
Cool, 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 tight, tight, tight.
So, but those are really the two things. Like, if you get excited and hyped, like, I'm not telling you not to be excited and hyped.
Yeah, I'm not like, telling people that, you know, if this has meaning for them, then by all means, fucking do it to it. But don't be surprised or, like, have a reaction when my reaction is different than yours.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing that was, like, catching me out of no place over the last couple of weeks was because, like, I wasn't having the, like, oh, shit. Okay. All right. Well, I feel like that's a good place to leave that.
Yeah.
For me, what I want to bring to the table, there's so many things I could bring to the table this week. There's just a bunch of stuff. I binge watched Jessica Jones. I do want to talk
about I have not started season two yet. So.
Okay, so you need to do it because it's deep.
Okay, well, I mean, first one was also deep and hit some places.
Yeah, what two is just like, oh, you thought one was some shit? You thought one was some shit? No, I got some shit for you.
Here's the shit right here.
Here's the shit right here. Right here. So you need to get through it, and then we'll do a Blurs of a Feather on it. How about that?
All right, got it. Sounds like a plan to me.
So the next thing, getting past that, is I've been back in Assassin's Creed Origin again, mostly because they released more content for the game. I finally actually downloaded the Season Pass stuff, because I bought the Season Pass when I got the game, and I do want to disclose that Ubisoft gave me a free copy of the game, just the base game, and I was really appreciative of that. Because, you know, I told you guys that I was on the fence about whether or not I was going to jump into Origins because it seemed like it was Skyrim Egypt, and I yes. wasn't sure that that was the experience that I was looking for in my Assassin's gameplay. But I'm glad that Ubi sent me the game because I did try it, and I was very much wrong in my opinion and assessment of it being Skyrim Egypt. It's not. It's very much Assassin's Egypt, which was great. I did enjoy, you know, being able to play the majority of the game as Bayek, who really is a character that I think it is easy to create an emotional connection to. The story is done really well with him. But the Season Pass stuff picks up with first an episode called The Hidden Ones, which is really the start of the Assassins, and gives you the background of how and why the Creed was created.
Okay.
And that was really the point where it went from being, you know, a loose organization of assassins to actually a group with one driving purpose and a creed that united them across all their nations, really. So that was really interesting to dive into. And once again, playing the game, it is absolutely stunning. Like, every time I jump into Egypt, I am surprised by some other visual that I start looking at and realize I haven't made any progress towards my mission or the marker that I set because I've just been sitting on this sand dune out in the desert watching the wind whip up the sand. And it's really pretty at sunset. you know, I cannot say enough amazing things about the design team for putting together such a visually phenomenally stunning game. And I bring this up because I feel like they kicked it up a level in the season pass content. So the first piece that they've added is basically a hunt for dead pharaohs. And it is in the Curse of the Pharaohs that you end up going from Siwa and Egypt ultimately to traveling to the afterlife.
Okay.
And there are four pharaohs that you have to take out, the last of which I believe is actually Nefertiti. She a bitch. I haven't done her yet. Right now I'm working on Aten, so I'm in the afterlife in Aten. And you can easily fast travel back and forth from the afterlife, which is stunningly beautiful, to, you know, Siwa, or just generally back to Thebes, or just back out to the desert if you want to take on an elephant, you know, because those are easier than the afterlife. Because the afterlife is not easy. So all of the season pass content is basically the game plus content, the prestige plus kind of section. So in the main game, if you do all the side missions and earn all the ability points and things like that, you can actually max out your character at about level 40. The existing season one expansion stuff lets you take your character up to 50. And I highly recommend it if you're going to go after pharaohs. But it adds so much more stuff. So it's not just, you know, three or four more guided missions. It brings back some other things that help fill out the game, which I kind of missed when I was running around in my 40 plus, and I'm really glad to have back in the season. So as an example, one of the things that you had as a side quest was to, in the original game, visit all and find all of these stone circles. And they were moments that you remembered sharing with your son, who had been killed, to search out in the sky these constellations that have meaning. So it was, you know, this really, at least for me, emotional moment where you're in the dark staring up at the stars, basically, with your son trying to match up the symbols from the circle to their constellation in the sky and imparting to your son the wisdom of what that character, what that being represents, and the meaning behind it and the meaning that he should carry on in his life with that. And I kind of missed, once I got all the stone circles, I kind of missed, you know, those moments breaking up the gameplay of sitting and looking at the stars in part of this new season pass content. There are new stone circles.
Oh, I bet you weren't the only one who brought it up.
And so it's really great to have that once again as a side quest to do, because it's really cool, you know, taking these symbols and trying to find them in the sky and listening to the story while you're doing this stargazing, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's a nice touch, and it's a nice break from get on horse or camel, ride through desert, jump down on thing, kill thing, put thing on fire, pick up thing, okay, get XP, do it again. It's a nice thing to break up that monotony. Another thing that I had liked in the game, which some people really didn't, was the Philoctetes. Which the Philoctetes were these kind of OP characters that would run around the level, and early in the game, they're usually like 10 or 15 levels above you. So it would typically be your ass if you ran into them early in the game, because you'd be level 5 and they'd be level 25. And you would be fucked in one hit if they hit you. So it was kind of like one of these things. And they showed up at random, and they show up with a red marker on the map so you can actually see where they are, so you can, like, go to the other side of town or avoid them until they disappear. But when the Philoctetes would appear, once you got to, you know, the higher levels in the game where you could actually take them on, you could get some really dope gear out of beating them up. And so it was really nice to kind of test your strength. I would always go after them when I was within, like, two or three of their level, because you could see what their level was, unless they were so far above you that it just showed a skull, which meant instant death. If you try to fight this person, you're going to die. Versus, oh, hey, level 15, this particular Philoctetes is a level 18, and they're not completely in red, so you kind of have a shot, if you're good, of taking them out. And so now that's back in the season DLC, but it's back as these Anubis Riders. And so when they show up, when you're in Thebes, you can go after them. And where it switches is that in the afterlife and in Thebes, pharaohs, visions of the pharaohs show up, and they're straight up OP, but they only appear for a short time. And if you can take one out, you'll also get some really sweet, you know, rare or above gear and XP. So it's really nice to have these kind of ad hoc spot challenges that pop up. You know,
where's your skill level at? Like, have you tried to take out one of these?
I've taken out one vision of the pharaoh. I've taken out two Anubi, simply just because one that popped up, I couldn't get to it fast enough where it was on the map from where I was before it disappeared.
Oh, okay.
Because when they show up, the NPCs will fight them as well. So characters that you would normally be fighting also see the Anubi and the visions of the pharaoh as enemies, so they'll start fighting them, which helps you, because they will actually do some damage before the Anubi and the pharaohs just start, you know, weighing lace to them as well. But there was one that I couldn't get to the map fast enough, but they appear at random at any point, and it at day and at night at different points on the map, so it's not like they're an enemy that always shows up, like, at this one temple. So if I just sit out this temple, I'm bound to see one. That doesn't happen. They pop up in random places. The Anubi travel the map, so you can actually see them progressing, walking through the mountains or walking through a city or something. But as they are close, typically within like 25 meters of you or so much, a horn will sound to let you know, like, shit's in the neighborhood. And I really like that because it creates a sense of suspense, and there's a, okay, I'm not just traveling to this building, climbing up to the top, synchronizing a spot, now jumping down into the hay or jumping down into the water. Now let me go get some more arrows. Okay, now let me run this side quest. Okay, great. Now I got the XP. So now I'm level up that I can do this mission. It's, okay, well, let me open up this map. Hey, there's a Ptolemy statue that I need to destroy. Over there is a freaking Anubi that I could go after, and he's trudging down the highway, so if I'm smart, I can wait till he gets to the base of that mountain, because I know at the base of that mountain, it's kind of thin, and I can just sit on my horse and wail on his ass. Then I have the side missions over here that I can run, and two of them are a level above me, which means I should get double the XP, so that'll help me get to my next level faster. Like, it makes it much more enjoyable to run in, and it's not monotonous, which for a lot of people, I feel like in Assassin's Origin, making them run from like 20 to probably about 35 felt really monotonous.
Okay.
And that's all gone in the season pass content. So I'm really enjoying it. The afterlife levels are really stunning looking. Like in the level of Aten, because Aten was the sun god, the sun is present in the space, kind of like second day of Majora's Mask, where the moon was in the world and you just looked up and you're like, oh hi, angry moon, I can see up your nose.
Here's this precipice of, oh snap, like the world is going to end if we don't fix this shit,
right? And Aten is the flip side of that. In Assassin's Creed, the sun, you can actually track the rays of the sun coming down and touching the land. Oh. And it is absolutely beautiful. And it's just constantly shining. Like, there is no light in Aten. Because Aten was a sun god. The sun never goes away. So there is no night. It is constantly just day.
It's and Florida.
It's better than Florida because you don't have any Florida man. issues going on. So Aten is absolutely gorgeous. But you gotta really be, like, around level 48 to run around it successfully and not just die all the time. Because you're gonna die if you're not at least that high. But it's absolutely gorgeous. I think that they did a really fantastic job of creating constant new content coming to the platform, both in the season pass, DLC side, as well as just straight gameplay. So even if you have not done the season pass for the game, they are still adding new content, whether it's the Trials of the Gods, so, you know, beating up Sobek and Anubis and Set in order to get better legendary weapons. There's constant re-adding of side quests and little areas to discover. You know, it really is a very well done entire ecosphere that they've created with Origins. And I'm really just loving it. And it doesn't hurt that I love Egyptian culture and history and have always been infatuated by it to start. Right. But it's obvious that, you know, the team has really put a lot of time and effort and thought into representing Egypt in a beautiful and gorgeous way. And they've done it. Like, even when you're fighting the hippo looks cute. It's mad at you trying to eat you.
Well, yeah, because you're trying to eat it.
No, I'm just trying to, like, get the loot. I actually tried not to fight hippos, but if I end up aggroing one because I didn't see it in the water when I was crossing through the water, I kind of have no choice. Because they won't, like, unless you get someplace where you can hide, hippos will follow you out of the water to the land. I thought that they would just stay in the water, but no.
No, they can walk on land.
Yeah, I know they can walk on land, but I figured they would just stay in the water. Like, if I got far enough away from where they were in the middle of basically this river, I figured if I made it to the shore, they'd be like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to go all the way to shore for the meal. But no, they do. Yeah, hippo will make the move. So don't just think getting up on the land is going to work. You got to get up in the tree like a leprechaun.
Oh, okay, duly noted.
Yeah. And then fire down fire arrows on it.
Hmm.
And if you hit one on the ground, it'll get spooked by the fire at its feet and run away. So then you don't have to kill the hippo. Because I try not to kill hippos. Alligators, fuck them. But I try not to kill hippos.
Okay.
But I will fucking kill an alligator with no remorse. Alligators and hyenas, fuck them. I kill them all the time.
But... okay.
Lions, I try to leave alone. Lions, I try.
Cute?
Yeah. Hyenas are ugly.
And they suck. I mean,
like, at least a lion, like, if you're fighting two lions, one lion will hang back and be like, I'm gonna wait my turn, and we're gonna fight with honor. Hyenas will be like, there's 15 of us right here, and we're all gonna attack you. You're like, no, fuck you, hyenas. Just fuck all y'all. And hyenas will attack fucking birds.
Birds.
Like, lions will attack people. Lions will attack, like, people walking by, and, like, I saw this one lion trying to take down a hippo, and hippo was like, bitch, please, and took out the lion. But, like, hyenas will attack everything. They'll attack little birds, chickens on the road. They'll attack fucking people. Hyenas give no shit. Fuck them. They can die. But hippos, I try not to kill.
All right, then. Duly noted.
Yeah, but hyenas, alligators, I kill those. Fuck vultures. If vultures start shit with me, I end it. But I don't go after vultures. But they will come after you. You can aggro, as I found out. You can aggro a vulture. Because typically they're looking for freshly dead bodies. And, you know, if you make some freshly dead bodies for them, they will be happy to start pulling them apart. But typically they don't go after living folks. But if you stay, like, in one of their lairs too long, the king vulture will be like, fuck you, and dive bomb you.
Oh, well then, don't and so stay then too you're long. Like,
now I'm gonna fight with a vulture.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Avi. Vultures don't cotton well to that.
No.
But I'm really enjoying the game, and, you know, it's one of the few times that I've had an Assassin's game where it doesn't feel like there's an end to the game. And I'm really excited about that. Not that I'm just happy about it. I'm excited about that because I'm excited every time I return to the realm, and that doesn't happen often with an Assassin's game. You know, typically, like, when you hit the end of Brotherhood, you're ready for the next chapter in the story. You don't want to continue staying in that Brotherhood realm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the same thing with Revelations. When you finish Revelations, you were ready for the next chapter, the evolution. You didn't want to continue just running around where you were, because it didn't feel like there was any more to do. Like, if they just made more build up to city missions, you kind of be like, eh, okay, whatever. But this addition to this Assassin's game doesn't feel like it's just, here's more of the same thing to do. It's different, and it's new, and there's new environments and new characters that you come across. And they just really, for me, have done a fantastic job. So if you have the game, I highly recommend, if you did not pick up the season pass, at least pick up the season one expansion. Give that a shot. There's some really interesting weapons that are in there. And like I said, the levels between the stuff that you do in Thieves, as well as the things that they add back, and the afterlife missions, like, I think they're worth the price.
Duly noted, sis. Duly flippin' noted.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. I'm back to being a fan again, unequivocally, of the franchise. You know, I had a really sour taste with Unity. I've made that pretty clear. And Syndicate helped, like, put me back on the right track. But I really wasn't, you know, sure about Assassins. Like I said, I wasn't sure that I was going to pick up this game. And I'm really glad that I went ahead and picked up the season pass. And it's just a fantastic experience. I'm really enjoying it. So I highly recommend, if you're the type that enjoys the Assassin's Creed game, I would say if you enjoyed Syndicate, you absolutely should pick up Origins. And if you pick up Origins and you enjoy the first four people that you take out, those missions and the gameplay up until that point, then you absolutely should go ahead and pick up the season expansion.
Okay. All right, then. And thus spoke she on that about day.
Thus spoketh Ninja Sista. So the last thing that I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit in this episode, but I'm going to go deeper in it in our next episode, is I finally picked up Fortnite, and I started playing it. And I'll be honest with you.
Follow it through. I'm excited, because for a while there, I thought you weren't going to do, you said you were going to do it, but then I wasn't sure you were going to do it.
No, look at you doing it. Installed it on the Xbox yesterday, and not just the free Battle Royale, I actually bought the game.
Oh.
Yep, bought the Founders Edition of the game, and got that installed on the Xbox, fired it up. Also got in on the iOS version of the game, so I haven't played that yet, but I have it installed on my iPad Pro, and so I'm probably going to be playing the ever-loving Jesus out of it while I am flying to Seattle later in the month. But I just really quickly want to touch on two things that happened. And this did not, I want to make sure I say this, this did not influence my decision in any way, shape, or form. I had already purchased the game before this happened. But Drake ended up playing Fortnite with Ninja from Twitch.
Uh-huh, yes.
And, like, it broke the fucking internet.
Yeah, I heard about this, but I didn't do any further research on it.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Drake's an okay Fortnite player. Ninja's pretty dope. But it was really cool because leading up to it in the week, you know, I do a lot of social media marketing and brand analysis for just in the course of my day job. And earlier in the week, before the Drake thing had even happened, Fortnite was just blowing up across many of the social media marketing news hubs, and, like, even morning news shows were picking up and trying to understand, like, what the draw was and calling it a phenomenon, which it is a phenomenon. And I'll be honest with you, I am really glad to see Fortnite getting the love and attention that it's getting versus PUBG, just because PUBG still, at least for me, does not run great on my Xbox, so it's kind of a broken experience. And I know that it's, you know, early on, and it's not final game. It's like, you know, that space that's between an alpha and a beta, but everybody keeps calling it a beta, but it's really not. It's still kind of like...
Yeah, yeah.
There's pre-beta, still some... but post Alpha Fortnite's been the only game like that I've been able to run successfully without like crazy crashes and stuff like that. And frankly, it's just fun. Like, I'm not great. I'm gonna preface this now. When you see me, guys, in Fortnite, I am not a great Fortnite player. I'm probably not the one that's ever gonna make it to, you know, a winner royale. Like, that's, I'm not gonna get the victory royale. That's not gonna be me, okay? I'd like for it to be me, but it's not gonna be me. Like, unless I get
really good at, like... Hey, let's manage some expectations here.
Right. Like, unless I get super dope at hiding, like, just inside the map, because I got killed by the map, like, twice. Because I wasn't paying attention to the circle closing.
Oh, of course you weren't. Of course you weren't.
I was just like, let me break apart this house now, because I want these resources, because I want to build a dope fort. And I just wasn't paying attention to the circle. And so the circle comes in, and I'm like, oh, why did it get there? Oh, shit, I am losing health. And I was trying desperately to make it to the circle, but I didn't make it. And, you know, hey, that's on me. I take that L. You know, not with pride, but I take the L. But it is just a fun game. And I think for me, it's because there's more... It feels like there's more strategy involved for me playing Fortnite than when I play PUBG.
I have not gotten into PUBG. Like, not even remotely interested
in... Yeah, I played it a couple of times because, again, I tend to like shooters. And I was like, you know... I have quite a few friends that are on the Xbox that are playing PUBG, so I thought, you know, I probably could get a good multiplayer going with some of them. So let me jump in and, you know, see if I even like the game before I put the feelers out, like, hey guys. You know, because really, like, right now, my only multiplayer shooting experience is Destiny on my PlayStation. And, you know, I like my PlayStation. I like my PlayStation just fine. But I prefer the game on my Xbox, so I was really trying to find more things on my Xbox that I can play with other people, basically, until Soul Calibur comes out. So.
Right.
There's that. Because I'll play, you know, a fighting game with no chat on for days against people. But shooters are just a different beast. So I really wanted to find one that I could play with some of my friends. And, you know, like I said last week, my besties, oldest... was like, hey girl, do you Fortnite? And I was like, he just how cute and smooth he delivered the request. I was like, I gotta play this game. I gotta get this game at least so I can play it like at least once.
Well, I mean, so have you played with besties?
No, besties not yet. Not yet. I'm planning to surprise him this week with the invite to play the game when I see him on. Because there's certain times that he gets to play, and okay. So I know when he gets to play this week, so I'm just going to kind of be like, an invitation was sent.
Oh, snap.
So he'd just be like, oh! Like, I want him to have that moment, as opposed to like, oh yeah, I arranged this thing, we're going to do this thing, it's going to... Because I'll try to play it off, like, real cool and everything, I just really want to surprise him. Like, I basically just want the moment where he, like, drops the controller and runs to the kitchen like, Mom! Rochelle's trying to play with me!
Well,
like, I mean, want him to have that moment.
Okay. Okay.
So.
I wish someone would be like that.
I do think one of the things that I think is really cool about it, again, this is one of those things that really surprised me, was that they've added the iOS game, and that the aim is to make Fortnite cross-play across all platforms.
Yes, I've heard. I've
That's heard that. Really fucking ambitious. Because that's, you know, that's like Minecraft level of ambitious of trying to get iOS, PC,
you gotta get all those systems
Mac,
to talk to each other.
Console,
that can be...
all those, so that you basically have, you know, single sign-on from any of those guys with same account, so that I can be my character on my iOS device and have the exact same experience and the exact same latency or lack thereof issues as everybody else on the servers. That's mad fucking ambitious, but man, oh man, if it works, it's really going to set the tone.
Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pans out.
Like, that will really set the tone for a lot of other games.
True that.
I'm really excited for it, and, you know, again, I think part of the reason why I was attracted to it in the first place was that because it had such a slight cartoony visual style, it, even though it's a shooter, it feels a little artistic and a little lighthearted. And then you throw the strategy on it, and I really am excited about that. So I'm looking forward to playing Fortnite with friends. You guys know what the gamer tag is, so if you want to have a really poor Fortnite player on your team, you know how to get a hold of me. But I like I said, I've played 3 matches, all Battle Royale, and I've really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. So, you know, I don't know what that says for you, but what it says for me is you're probably going to see me in Fortnite a bit more. And every time I got into a new level and played Fortnite, it made me just want to play Overwatch again. So it might actually get me back into Overwatch, because I stepped out of Overwatch a while ago.
You're not the only one.
And then they nerfed Mercy, so then I was like, is there really any reason to go back?
Well, yes. Yes.
Because, like, Mercy...
They just released the new character, who I think is the daughter of...
Torvald.
So, that could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, Brigitte.
Yeah.
Who,
yeah,
that's her name. I think they kind of angled her as a tank, but she's...
Not?
No. Like, you could run tank with her, and I've seen some people trying to, but she's definitely, I would say, an aggressive healer.
Really? She's a heal type, too?
Yeah, she can heal.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. So she is heal and shield.
Okay.
And that's why people try to run her as a tank. Because she has a really nice personal shield that, you know, other people, because she's big, can get behind. So she's big, unlike her dad.
Okay.
So, like, if you took...
Reinhardt?
If you took him out of his armor...
Yeah.
Brigitte would be about his size.
You think?
She's a big girl.
Okay.
Like, when you see her in the game, she's, like, Pharah size... in her arm.
Well, I was about to say, I was like, Farrah's not a huge person.
No, Farrah in a mechanized suit. Yeah, Farrah in her suit. That's how big Brigitte is.
Oh, okay. Is she in also a similar armor or no?
No, she's just wearing clothes. So she's a big girl.
Big girls don't cry, so.
Yeah. You know. They don't. But I do like the character, and I love that Blizzard is continuing to make great characters. Not great looking characters, although the characters do look great. There's not a character design that I don't enjoy in the game. But everybody is a different set. They're not the boilerplate, like, character. Like, Brigitte's thick.
Good.
Which is awesome.
Bring on the thick.
Yeah. I'm so down for it. I love that there are different body types, and there are different, you know, color types, and everybody has a really interesting personality, and everybody has the same attention and detail put into their backstory. I love it. And you know me, I'm not a big Blizzard fan. Cause
I know you're not.
They took some years away from our relationship. But fucking Overwatch is dope. Not gonna lie.
Nah, it's dope. It's dope for sure.
It's dope. I love payload missions.
Of course you do.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter to me whether I'm attacking or defending. I just like moving a payload or stopping a payload. Just, it's good times. But anyway, that's what I got for you guys this week. I'm gonna have more game stuff for you. You know, maybe some Jessica Jones next week if Panda can get her shit together, but...
I'm trying.
But we'll do a Blurbs of a Feather on Jessica Jones soon. I'll say soon. How about that?
Yeah, soon makes more sense than next week.
Okay, I'll say soon. Definitely, definitely. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure that you subscribe. We are back to our regularly scheduled business, so please, please, please subscribe and share us. You can check out the show on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You'll also be able to check out our previews, reviews, news articles, editorials from us as well as everybody who makes up the team at the Land of Esh. So please bookmark the site, share it with your friends and across your socials, and help us spread the word about the stuff that we do here at the Land of Esh, because we'd appreciate it. You can also get our podcast through iTunes, either through the desktop application or through the podcast app on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can search for Electric Sisterhood too. Both will help you find a podcast, and you can tap the little subscribe button, which will ensure that the moment we put a new episode out on the web, you'll be able to download it and listen to it at your leisure. So you can do that as you please. And if you would please, not only check out our show and our podcast, but also check out VogNetwork.com, another place where you can find our podcast, but also they have some really fantastic shows on the network, including Bobby Blackwolf's show, Anime Jam Session, OLR. Like, there's so much fantastic, fantastic content over at VogNetwork.com. So please make sure that you check them out, bookmark their site, and listen to some amazing, amazing nerdery-like shows over there as well. Coming back home, just so we promote all of the folks that make up the Land of Esh, that starts with our homie KBD over at b3crew.com. Bookmark his site and check out his site for brand new stuff on indie music and artists from across the globe, as well as video games, anime, manga, movies. Like, if it's nerdy, KBD's talking about it in some way, shape, or form. And you can get his podcast that goes out bi-weekly in iTunes as well. Just search for Boston Bass Brigade or the B3 cast in iTunes and subscribe. On Wednesday, our homie Hamsman2049 from SmashRook.com is streaming live on Twitch, sometimes on YouTube, sometimes on Facebook. Every Wednesday night, playing a different game, whether it's retro or new, Ham is throwing it down, and it's just a fun, like, hour or so of watching someone play a game that maybe you know, maybe you don't. So make sure that you hit up our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, to get the link. He puts it out every Wednesday about an hour before he goes live. Typically that happens at 9 Eastern. Sometimes it's at 8 though. So make sure that you subscribe to our page, so as soon as he posts the new link and the time that it's happening, you can grab a hold of it. And then one of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap Review, one of my most favorite review and recap shows on YouTube. I'm telling you, like, I have gone back and probably watched his recaps on Westworld like 3 times. They're just that much fun and insightful and random, and it's just a fantastic show. You can call in, be part of the show live. You definitely, definitely want to do that. Please, please, please check out Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube. Subscribe to his channel. Make sure you turn on the alert so when he puts out new video content, you can be part of it. And you can check out his entire archive as well as some of his editorial pieces on his website, issuesprogram.com. And then last but certainly not least, the nerds over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic books, movies, anime, manga, video games, you name it. If it's nerdy, the nerds over at NerdCrave are talking about it because they're about that life. So with that, it's time for me to wrap up this podcast. I'm so glad to have you guys along for the journey with us. I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, bye.